Hey everyone. Today with the Open Hearth, we are playing our third session of Girl by Moonlight. Girl by Moonlight is the magical girls RPG by Andrew Gillis. And we're having an awesome time so far. But I think we've only really dipped our toes in. So today is probably the first session that we get to see a real magical girls do magical things. My name is Dana. My pronouns are he, him. I am GMing the game. So let's get a round of intro from our players and their characters, and then we all jump in. Ian, I think you're first.
Okay, hello. I'm Ian. I use he, him pronouns, unlike the character who I'm playing, Cordelia. Cordelia uses the Enigma playbook, which means that she is a mild-mannered maintenance worker by day, and by moonlight, she becomes the dashing redshift, the pilot of Tezcatlipocha, the Jaguar engine that we have established. It's not widely known on our generation ship that she is the pilot. She has this sort of secret identity as the pilot of this machine. And so she has this sort of constant conflict between her normal, mundane, day-to-day life and her high-flying heroics as Redshift.
Awesome. Thanks, Ian. Sabine.
Yeah, I'm Sabine. I use any pronouns, and I am playing the Outsider playbook. My name is not important. He calls himself Jet, and with the call sign of Apogee, Jet is a troublemaker. We have a society that's under pressure. Like, we are too many people for everything. But and not mostly people toe the line, but some people are, well, punks, I guess, and that's what Jet is. He was like doing leaflets and spray painting for like graffiti about don't be a drone, stand up for your rights and stuff like that. So yeah, he got caught doing some I think some vandalism probably. And so his friend, sister, crash mate would not get caught. He kind of let get gave himself up, and he's been sentenced to actually something horrible. But they found out that he could pilot one of the engines, so sentence was transmuted. He's now going to valiantly battle the Leviathans and hopefully give his life in the service of something more useful than he otherwise would. Yeah, Jet feels an intense rivalry with Redshift because, well, I mean, Redshift, he doesn't know who she really is, but she's probably super privileged at something like that. So he feels he projects a lot of his issues onto Redshift, I think. And yeah, and his he's given the promise to Redshift, one day I will save you. This is more like, I will show you that I can actually save you, and that I'm not second to you, even though I'm just a convict, right?
Little does he know that he has actually saved her life before.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. He will save her over and over again, as often as it takes. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think he has a very clear idea what good would that would do him, or where what his end game would be. He probably has some wild dreams about toppling the regime, whatever.
Awesome. And speaking of all this has happened before and it will happen again, let's hear from our time traveler.
My name is Matt. I use they, them, or any pronouns. I will be playing Iris, whose true name is Horizon. I am playing the time traveler. I think in this case, I'm not someone who's just come out of the past or the future. I think I'm someone who grew up in the congregation in the city and has traveled through time several times to the past and been changed by that experience. I think a little bit contrasting with the sort of the roles of the other two characters as like laborers and happened into this life or press ganged into this life. I think Iris is very much a chosen one, has been born and bred to do this, has been like appointed this role from birth. The name Iris means rainbow and also was a messenger of the gods. So I think that Iris has been chosen to be the one to sort of go through these gates and do a lot of the hard work and missions. And I think Iris, I've chosen troubled captain and forbidden lover as my roles, so I'm certainly a troubled captain. What else should I speak of? Yes, my obligation. I put constant tutoring, making appearances, attending congregation meetings, just overwhelmed with duty. I wrote daughter of the creed or daughter of the congregation, and I think that's what she is.
Okay, great stuff. So let's kind of close the circle on our promises. Cordelia and Jet had their promises last week.
Do
Can
you
we
want
just
us to
hear?
reiterate those?
We heard Jet's to you, but let's hear yours to him.
Yeah. Cordelia's promise to Jet, as you know, as she is a kind of like low level, you know, she's engaged in physical labor and he is a prisoner. Her promise is, I know what it's like to be invisible. I won't let Jet escape my sight.
So Matt, can we maybe start with Iris, one of Iris's promises to the others?
Let's do it. I have a few in mind. Oh yeah, I'll say one of the important time traveler bits. The time traveler is fated. You traveled through time to change another protagonist's fate. What dark fate are you here to prevent, and whose fate is it? I think that part of what Horizon has had to do in traveling through these gates back through time is to commune with the gods and goddesses of forgotten ages and to pick up strings of prophecy, little bits and pieces. I don't think I can get much. I think it's a very challenging thing to do, but I think that it is Jet's dark fate, and the fate is that if Jet leaves us, we will fail. But if Jet stays, he will be consigned to oblivion, forgotten to time. I hope that's, I'm glad that you love it.
Ouch.
I was listening to our last session and I just thought I would push on that, all the way.
Especially love it because it ties in with Cordelia's promise. So, yeah, it's really good.
Yes. And so one of my promises is a paradoxical promise. And I was thinking something along the lines of like to Jet, I can't just let you leave, but I promise not to make you stay. Something like that, where it's like, I have to figure out how to sit on in this with all the knowledge that I have. And like, am I going to be able to stop Jet from take away Jet's agency and in order to save the world? Or can I be a true friend to Jet and let him leave? Something like that. Does that promise sound like it works?
Sure. I don't think Jet knows this, but yeah.
Yeah,
And if he
totally.
knew, he probably would think he were threatening him.
Yeah. I have a lot weighing on my shoulders. How long have the two of you been pilots?
I don't think I've been a pilot for a very long time. I think it's pretty new thing. Maybe Ratchet's been there a little longer, or maybe came after me. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that Redshift came after you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cordelia was an aspiring pilot for way longer than she was
Oh,
a
right.
pilot.
Oh, in that case, I have been a pilot for a bit, at least. Yeah, that makes sense. That explains why Ratchet's so cocky about some stuff, because he's done it, right?
He's a senior pilot.
He's not really senior, but he's a yeah, he's seen shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know how what our like the time scale of our TV show here is. Redshift could have been a pilot for as little as like a week.
Maybe she was just an aspiring pilot in season one, and something went wrong there, and in the final episode, Redshift came out of nowhere and saved the day.
Brand new, freshly hatched pilot right
Yeah.
here.
Ascended Extra, I think, is the TV tropes.
Yes. Yep.
Matt, are you thinking maybe you made a promise to Cordelia back when she was a candidate? It was like way back at the start of season one kind of thing.
That's perfect. Yeah. So I was musing on the way home and I was thinking, my other promise is a forgotten promise. And I thought that with my life being swallowed up by my obligation, it would be fun to have like sort of a childhood promise or something that has just fallen by the wayside, or I haven't been able to fulfill because of the life that has seized hold of me. And I was thinking it could be like something like, I'll always fight alongside you, or we'll always be, we'll always like be together along our path, or something like, I will love you always, if it was like a childhood love thing, or
I will never keep a secret from you.
yeah, anything like that. If there's a flag, anything you want to flag in, then I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's the age difference between these two characters? You said that you're a captain, which suggests to me that you are maybe a little bit older than Cordelia is. And
Don't think much.
certainly having like experienced like multiple different timelines, like maybe you have more time under your belt than like someone of your age might suggest. Which is an interesting sort of dynamic to pull on here. Yeah, I'm curious if you want for this to have been a kind of like childhood sweethearts sort of thing, or if you want for it to be like siblings in ad made by adversity,
If
or actually to be related. I don't know, like you're
you don't have a strong preference, I think because I have the forbidden lover side, I think Childhood Sweethearts is interesting and like hits on some of the I don't think Iris is much older than the rest, but she has been doing this for most of her life, and I think you're right in some of her experiences have like affected her, and so she's grown in a different way, but yeah, they could have also just been like
No,
best friends.
I like this. I like this, and I think it really plays into Cordelia's sort of inferiority complex of like, here's this person who once I was close to, who has gone on to do these great and heroic things. And meanwhile, I have kind of fallen by the wayside. I have, I don't have any particular talent. I don't have like, anything that makes me special.
Wait.
I'm just here taking care of the boiler. And then the redshift thing happens, and she's like, I've arrived,
Is Iris the reason why you wanted to be a pilot so bad? Huh. How so?
I, when, if she were to confess why she wants to be a pilot so bad, it's because she would say that it's because she wants, like, the thing that she would give away is that she like wants to be looked up to the way that, like, she has looked up to other pilots. She wants to be a symbol of hope. She wants to be, something to kind of lead the community. And that's in the kind of general sense. She wants to be loved generally. But I think there's something more specific to it than that.
Love, love, love. And it was so long ago that we were probably like, best friends that had confusing feelings for each other, right? And then when you get older, you're like, do I still feel this way? Like, would this be a good thing or whatever?
Right. Obligations, like you said, obligations pulling us apart.
So maybe it's just as simple as like, I will love you always. Something cute like that. And now I have another forbidden love.
Well, I think that the was this the paradoxical promise or the forgotten promise?
Forgotten.
That's so delicious, dude.
It hurts. I
I mean,
love
I was
it.
thinking like the actual age profile of our pilots. I've kind of in my head been like early 20s. And like that was so long ago, could have been like 2 or 3 years ago, the way our young adult minds work,
I'm thinking maybe we were like 14 or something like that, like just the innocence era. And then, yeah, we're young adults now.
Maybe
And
even younger than that.
maybe, yeah, totally. Cool.
Awesome.
A forgotten promise, forgotten by whom?
Not by Cordelia, I'm sure. Okay, awesome. So, yeah, we've got two side characters for you to create, Matt. I think you have one already ready to rumble.
I heard Serena during our last session, come and give her frustrating blessing to the sweaty workers down in the guts of the ship. I think that, yeah, Serena is a powerful priestess. Maybe even like a saint-like figure, someone who is a symbol of hope in a different way, I think. We can explore the faith a little more if it comes up, and if it doesn't, that's fine. But I think that we are certainly not supposed to be even spending much time together because our lives don't intersect much. It's like you would think that these two roles, which are so integral to the mission and the like creed of the congregation, would be more of a cohesive thing, more holistic, but we are basically totally separate arms of and we fulfill our roles as tools for them, and we basically get to see each other just with passing glances and at celebrations and very formal occasions for the most part. So it's very much stealing the moment kind of relationship. But it's like we're both in this together, and we've both spent our lives doing things that we don't even know if we believe in.
Okay, and You have an idea for a second side character?
Yeah, let's. I'm thinking basically like one of the like nine high archons of the congregation, like just some extremely important religious and political leader who is sort of like my handler and is probably a public figure. I think, yeah, high archon, like Apollonius or something like that, some ridiculous highfalutin ancient Greek sounding name. And they might be like the one, or he might be like the one that like is proselytizing about like our mission and our hopes for the final gate and why we as pilots are so important, like maybe a little bit of the public relations side of what we're doing and who we are, just so it's someone who can interact with all of the characters, but especially they are like my like I'm the star, I'm the star of this show, and he is pulling strings. Thanks for taking notes while I vomit words. I'll find a picture.
Great. So I think that is all of our extra setup. Oh, Matt, you will probably have figured out that based
Yeah.
on the others' choices last week, you are, well, I'll say, stuck with Luna as your engine.
Happy to be stuck in the middle with Luna.
Yeah.
I even found a picture.
We should make promises to Iris, right?
Oh, yes, you should. Thanks for reminding me. Sabine, do you have an idea?
Well, yeah, a big mouth. I thought of an idea. I have a to give a competitive promise. I think the competition is less with Iris than with the whatever draws her strings, right? My promise to Iris is I will drag you out of this image that has been put upon you and that might not even be who you really are.
I love that. Like, try and excavate
Yeah.
who are you really?
Yeah.
I do think Iris can be a little cold and distant, and their life and their headspace is so full of everything else that they don't have any space to, she doesn't have any space to be herself. So I love it.
And that's the competition, right? To me against Apollonius. Because why
Yeah.
would I choose anybody less, right?
Absolutely. Is there any competition with my like Horizon persona? Like, is there a little bit like, come on, like.
Yeah, there's obviously Apogee is kind of like is will always egg people on.
Yeah.
Apogee is not a very cautious pilot, I think.
Love
I mean, look at Jet. He's not cautious.
it. We all need a jet in our lives.
If he had been cautious, he wouldn't be here.
True.
He would still work in the hydroponic gardens, which was originally his case, but now he's here, which is arguably, well, could be worse.
It could be a lot better.
Yeah, that's true. Could be a lot better, but not
It's
in hydroponic gardens. Everything could be a lot better if people's voices were heard more, not just the higher ups.
Matt, how do you think Iris responds to this, dare I call it, insubordination?
I think that because of the fate that I know that Jet is doomed to, I think I'm definitely resigned to what I think is like prophecy, because my life has been so laid out for me, and because so much of my work has been finding out what is going to happen, what is guaranteed to happen, and sort of like working around that. I think that Jet's efforts are just futile, and I sort of let Jet go on. But at a certain point, sometimes I probably get fed up and overwhelmed and maybe snap at Jet as the way a captain would.
See, that's fair because that is your real anger, at least. It's not just a facade. We can work with that. We can work with that.
Ian, how about you? A secret of promise. I wonder what this will be.
I think it's so perfect that we have one promise that's like, I'm gonna, I'm gonna excavate the person from this kind of like, bureaucratic morass or something, I guess. Because I think I'd like to say that Cordelia and Iris are still close in the way that like childhood, people who were childhood friends can be close, the classic like, oh, it feels like, no time at all has passed since the last time we talked, even though it's been 6 months or something. Cordelia has a reputation, or maybe is typecast as a good listener. And you have described being pulled in every direction by obligations, and having, implied, I guess, by Jet that there's like something that you feel like you can't express, or would you say that that is accurate of about Iris?
Definitely.
I'd like to say that Cordelia has been your confidant in the past. Maybe there's something that you needed to like vent about to Cordelia. And so the promise that I have made, even if it's not one that I have said to you, is you entrusted me with my heart. I will never reveal it.
Yeah. Oh, you're such a good listener, Cordelia. I'm so grateful to have someone who will just spend a little time with me.
Yeah, you can't complain about Redshift to Cordelia. I have, so
And
she's a very good listener.
this is no way just an opportunity to spend, a 30 minutes with me here and there, is it? This is no way.
I'm the one asking the questions here, okay? I'm the good listener, not you. Is what she would like to say.
Yeah, and Iris hasn't a clue.
My God, we're all, if you'll pardon my language, we're all messy bitches who live for drama.
Yes, you better be.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what Garbine Moonlight is about, right?
Yeah.
You maybe forgot sad. So at least one of us got to be sad, but it's not me. I'm angry.
Okay, so I think we should jump into a mission. So, if you switch the series sheet on the Character Keeper, you will see at the bottom there is some mission options. These become ever more dangerous and perilous as the number goes. So, like, one is like standard, two is pretty dangerous, and three is, oh my God, we're all going to die. There are penalties to the engagement roll for however much above your current preparedness, your current re readiness that you go. Your current readiness is zero. So everyone else had very interesting things to do last week, Matt. So
Yeah, sorry about my downtime actions, guys.
so are there any there that you that kind of pique your interest?
I'm interested in fending off a Leviathan attack on the Bastion.
Yeah.
I'm married to that, but like seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I like
Yeah.
that too. Would have been my first choice, so.
Okay. Awesome.
Unless Matt hates it and wants nothing to do with it, obviously.
Matt, do you hate
Yeah,
it?
veto. No, just kidding. It's my number one.
Okay. So let's go with that. We did not establish, I guess we know at least there's one other pilot who is Rathi. Is there like another, I don't know what we call them, lance of engine pilots? How many engines do we have in this city?
I think at season creation said something about 12 or something about like that.
Okay.
Or
I do not remember.
seven? No, some important number.
Maybe it's like
Okay, some
4
important number.
or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. So is this do you think this is an attack that we see just your group? Or is this like a all no one's out doing another mission, everyone is ready for this attack. Obviously we end up retconning this depending on how terrible the engagement role is for you, but like what do we think? Is this we see every engine, or this is just you guys?
I mean, best case scenario, everybody's here. If we roll really poorly, maybe it's just us.
Okay.
If possible, I would love to dramatically return from another timeline as this attack is happening,
Yeah.
or from another time, I should say.
So
And
yeah.
Redshift is also not somebody we can actually, who's actually on standby, because sometimes Redshift just shows up, right? Redshift isn't always there. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Although we know that she sometimes takes Tezcatlipoca out for a
Yeah, right. No,
unauthorized skirmish.
I'm just saying, maybe it's just on standby, maybe it's just me and my good friend Rafi.
Yeah. So yeah, Jet, why don't you like the warning klaxon goes off to say that there is an incoming attack. What do we see you and Rafi get up to? Like how frenzied is this scramble?
I think the scramble was very frenzied among the ground crew and people who have to prepare the engines and open the gates and stuff like that, because it's an attack on the Bastion. And Rafi runs off like, oh my God, we have to do this. And Jeff's like, yeah, sure thing. Tries to play it cool. I mean, he's not really like super slow about this, but he tries to play it cool. Like, yeah, another day in the hangar. At least I don't have to clean the toilets today. So this is good, actually. Yeah. And
Okay.
then he goes up to the Shamash and says, oh, come on, well guy, I hear there's something for us to do. Let's see if that redshift shows up.
And Rafi kind of, I mean, we know that everything isn't quite on the level with Rafi. So, you take maybe his smile in a good way, but as the audience, we know there's something else going on. And he jumps into Durga, who kind of unwinds slowly, like this is a big imposition to launch for the fight.
What was Rafi's call sign, I guess?
Raffi's call sign
And
is.
it's your he's your side character, Ian, right?
Can I supply one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, his call sign is Aphelion,
Oh.
Aphelion, which is the farthest point in a celestial body's orbit from the sun.
That was my second choice for a name, actually.
Okay.
Mine was
So
Zenith, so we'll put that in the back pocket.
It's good to have a little quiver of them, isn't it?
yeah, so Ian, what about Redshift? When you or when Cordelia hears the klaxons going off, how do you respond?
I have a question about the way that the game works before I can answer your question, which is that must I declare that I am transcending in order to appear fictionally as Redshift?
I don't think that's a mechanical question. I think that's purely fictional, because I think, like the way you describe the scarf also sounds like it could just be a mundane disguise, and that's how people see you in the hangar anyway when you're Redshift, or like when you're not Cordelia, let's say. And obviously that scarf goes into infinity when you do transcend, right? So,
Yeah, so I guess maybe the answer is that there's like a look and a feeling component. So I think maybe this is like Cordelia entering the hangar, silent, like not saying a word to anybody. There's a kind of like, a like low murmur around, like, oh, like there they are, there's Redshift. And Cordelia is like walking in the red scarf, the red veil. Feeling like a total imposter right now. Feeling like I don't know that I'm going to be able to replicate what I did. I guess I have to do this. And then I think immediately before this, it's like Cordelia with her labor partner down in the boiler as the klaxons go off, and this extra turn, turns and says like, Cordelia, what are we gonna do? And she's gone, right? She's not there. So I think this is her like walking up to Scatlipoca, and like putting a hand on the, on it, its flank, almost to like steady herself, because she is just like absolutely overcome with nerves and jitters right now.
And lastly, maybe before we do our engagement, Iris, how do we see, and like where maybe do we see you blink back from beyond?
I wonder if it might be like after the fight has just started. Like I almost want it to be like almost too late. Not too late necessarily, but like I want it to show that I'm right at, literally out of time travel and straight launched into another fight.
Maybe it's like maybe this is like the other pilots in their machines, like ready in the catapult, like ready to launch, but it's like we can't go until we have the captain say so. Like, and the other ships in the chorus are launching, the other defenses are launching, the Leviathan is out there, and we're like, all right, like give us the starting gun, like.
Yeah, and the gate team is like a NASA like working crew, and they're all just like frantic trying to get me back from wherever I am, a jungle somewhere or something like that. And I think it's probably like me coming through into the hangar with a giant escort, and someone's like helping me, supporting me walking to to Luna.
I was going to ask, that answers my follow-up question, was like, do you time travel with Luna, or is Luna strictly a here and now kind of thing?
I think I do when I really need to, when the mission really calls for it, but I do regular research field trips that are just me going to ancient temples and trying to connect with gods forgotten.
Okay. So let's do our engagement roll. So I mean, we all know what engagement rolls are. So I'm just going to cut straight to the counting our dice. There's always hope. The protagonists start with 1d for every mission. Is this mission particularly heroic or noble? If so, we take 1d. If the mission's goal or methods reflect the worst parts of the protagonists, take minus one. I mean, you're defending your home, right? That's, I mean, necessary, but not unheroic.
Yeah, I guess the key word is particular. I mean, is what we do all the time particularly heroic? Maybe.
I think we are seen as heroes. But do we feel like we're heroes? Is there something very special? How often does a Leviathan, sorry, Leviathan attack on the Bastion happen? That's, I think, if it's a common occurrence, like we do this every Thursday, then it's a Thursday. If this is like, oh my gosh, they got to us. This is the first time in month that this has happened, then that might be particularly heroic.
I mean,
Might also tell us what's its no, it doesn't tell us what's at stake.
I mean,
Sorry.
it's a level one mission, so I would think that it's not so rare. You know, maybe it's not every Thursday, but maybe every other Friday, you know. And also, I guess I'm getting a little bit of, you know, self-doubt from Cordelia Redshift, and like a bit of world weirdness from Iris. I'm just coming back from a time travel mission, right?
Having to walk past the like chorus crew who are like praying and doing the effect, you know, the equivalent of like crossing themselves, you know, and demonstrating their belief in the pilots of the engines is like, it's a lot to live up to for sure.
Yeah, maybe we launch to a sacred song every time. So someone's directing a mass choir and like it's very epic and we're all over it.
Composed by, you know, Saint Bear McCreary, okay. Is the mission following through on details from the protagonist's investigation? Nope.
Nope.
Are you acting rashly or on very little information?
Are we acting rashly or?
On very little information.
I don't think so. I mean, we
No.
have the information that the
Yeah,
Leviathans are
yeah.
coming, and that's the information we got.
Okay. Does this mission determine the fate of our friend? I don't think so. Okay, and your mundane lives aren't quite getting in the way of the mission. Okay, so that's it. And then you
Middle.
are. So no bonus dice, and you are. The tier of the mission is exceeding the tier of your investigation track by one, so that is minus 1d. So you're rolling zero dice. So roll two and take the lower result. Who wants to let's make Matt roll this. Captain, the privileges of rank.
Paying credits.
I feel that in the last season, the first one, Jet once rushed off without the captain say so, but A, it didn't go well, and B, yeah, he can be cowed by Kren, and he has been, so yeah, he doesn't do that anymore.
Okay. I'm opening our room here, which is called Mysterious Child Shelf Engine Pair Win. I think that's interesting. I'm gonna roll two dice and we're gonna take the lowest. And we've got a two.
Okay. So maybe I
Troubles.
will describe the trouble you're in, and then we'll take a break in classic cliffhanger practice. So that's a bad result. You're in a desperate position when the action starts. So I think you can, like, you're in the la your launch tubes for the engines, and over your HUDs you can see like the rest, the other two lances out there fighting against the Leviathans. And then you feel the shuddering, and it's not the launch tubes going out. In fact, the launch tubes shut down. And like you see right underneath you like see the hangar like burst into chaos, like something just punches right through the hull. It's one of the Leviathans. They have just breached the ziggurat. And it slowly uncoils right underneath you. And it kind of sniffs, right? Because they're blind, and you see these like giant whip-like antenna kind of spread and like look towards the heart of the ship, and then it starts moving, and it just like brushes past all of the gantries and the armaments and everything that is like on the floor of the hangar bay, and starts worming its way up towards the heart of the ship, towards the heart of the city.
Ew.
Yeah. Hell.
The choir is still singing like the Titanic string
I
quartet.
mean, probably not. Or maybe they are. Who knows? Okay, so let's stop the
Nice.
recording and take a break. Okay. So let's see how we deal with this incursion. Who's got an idea for what they want to do first?
I mean, the Leviathan is in the hangar, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, our engines are also in the hangar, so this saves us some time to get to the Leviathan. I mean,
It's right there, yeah.
it's right there. Everybody's running from it, so collateral damage should not be people and everything else. Well, who cares? And yeah, I have a bright yet sentimental engine who likes to be pampered. But right now, being bright is a good thing. We will light up. I mean, the Leviathans won't mind that we lit up because they're blind, but still, light up, give a full throttle to the sound engines, just sort of blast them with some sound, because I think they might not like that. And attack in whatever
So,
way. Do I have to transcend to do that?
you don't have to transcend. It's worth
Okay.
noting that when you, if you do not transcend, then you are like at disadvantage against the
Oh,
Leviathans.
hell, I'm transcending.
Okay. And it's just a decision. You just say, hell, I'm transcending.
Yeah.
Two things
I'd like to
before,
transcend.
yeah. Two things to note. One is every time you do an action in when you're transcended, you mark one of those boxes. That's the transcendence track. And when you mark the last one, then your transcendence ends.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I have four actions to do
Yeah,
this, and
yeah.
then.
Unless you're in Eclipse. So I'm not saying it's the wrong, I just want you to be aware, like it will only last so long.
Okay, and how do
Yeah.
I get to Eclipse?
Oh, by filling up all your stress.
Oh, okay. I'm already three boxes in, so
Yeah.
we'll see.
The other thing to note is that if you look at the engines, you'll see two things. One is When your pilot's actions align with the engine's virtue, the engine provides a bonus die. And, or when your pilot's actions align with their engine's impulse, or they accept a poison promise based on that impulse, you mark XP and that action does not deplete your transcendence track. So if you give in to your or you feed your engine's worst impulses or worst features, then it won't fill up that transcendence track. It's all good. So if you're still transcending, tell us, obviously it's still inside the engine, so maybe it's not visible to everyone.
It is visible to everyone
Okay.
because my engine is bright enough to show.
Okay, cool.
I think.
So, yeah, what does it look like when you
I mean,
transcend?
it looks like I'm. It looks like I get a little. The dimensions shift, right? You can see me, but it seems also like I'm a little farther away than I am actually am. And I'm. Since I'm in my engine, it's very bright, like a little sun, like a little blue tinged sun, because blue is the Jet's favorite color.
Okay. And how does it make Apogee feel to transcend like this?
Excited. I mean, transcending is kind of like getting somewhere. Where there's nobody to boss him around, there's nobody to cramp his style, where he just gets to do what he can, what he was good at, right? What he likes actually. He would never admit that, but he likes it. He loves it.
Okay, awesome.
And also, I
So,
mean, he gets to wail on something, and nobody will shout at him for being too aggressive.
yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, I guess you're gonna like drop out of the launch tube, land on the hangar deck, and go at this Leviathan.
Yeah.
How do you want to do that?
How do I want to do that? I want to face that thing head on. Like, it's bigger than me, but what isn't, right? I mean, okay, if I when I'm in my engine, well,
Yeah, so
still, I've faced up to bullies. I can face up to this alive, and I will try to draw his attention by loud noise and making loud noise and stomping a lot.
So I described it like coming through to the hangar and then like starting to burrow its way up towards the ship. So I kind of think that it's not coming towards you, it's going away from you, but like it has a tail, right? I'm sure it has a tail that you could grab onto.
No, I want its attention, right?
Okay.
That's what I
Unless you
want.
want to kind of jump
Sure, I
or like
want.
do some crazy maneuver to get in front of us.
I would like to do that actually. I want to stand in front of it.
Okay. So
If you're allowed that.
yeah, so do you think this is flow? Like to get in front of us to or do you think defy
I was
is,
aiming for Defy.
yeah. Okay, well, flow is usually kind of movement, but maybe defy works as well. So we're gonna construct your die pool. You just start with one. So you have two options to, or you've got probably more than two options. You can spend stress in the normal way to get an extra die, to push for effect. You could get help from someone else, or you could just activate one of your links with your engine to basically get help from Shamash instead.
I think I will do that. I have links, so I will spend one of these. And I get one die for having a defy, for knowing how Or
Exactly.
having a thing in defined, but
Yep.
okay.
So that's
Yeah.
two.
That's three. I get one, I have defy, and I use the link. You
Sorry.
said we start with one.
No, that was on the engagement
Oh,
roll. Yeah. So you start with one
okay.
for defy,
Oh,
and then
okay.
you get one for
Oh, okay.
the link.
Okay, and I could accept a poison promise if somebody can think of something cool, right?
Yeah.
If someone can.
Anyone have something in mind?
I mean, just the kind of like generalized mayhem of a giant bright mech moving really quickly through a enclosed hangar space.
It's not up to speculate regulations. It's
I
not
think
what I'm supposed to do.
I'm imagining that there's like some damage caused to the interior of the hangar or the ship or something.
I almost say that's kind of be default, right? I wonder if it's something special or particular to Jet or even to Shamash.
It could be that like you're acting first without orders or before I dictate anything, like you're acting like and everyone's seeing you, like you can't really play this off. But I guess, we're here to stop this thing and it literally just breached the hull.
I think I might step on something that Commander Cran actually likes, or he has to move out of the way unless because I wouldn't mind trembling him a little. I
Yeah.
mean, if he's
I
in the way, he's just
don't think that's a poison promise. That's in your
okay.
benefit. I
Okay.
think I
Yeah.
wonder if maybe this is the route this thing is taking, or at least the route you're taking to intercept it, is going to damage your communications relay with the outside world. You
Yeah,
think?
that. Oh, wow, I worked so hard for that. Okay, yeah, fine.
So I'll give you the option. Either it cuts off the comms but doesn't affect the clock, or it unticks one of the segments on the clock.
I think it unticks one of the segments on the
Okay.
clock. That's fair. That's fair. I'd do that for a die.
Okay. So
Sorry,
yeah.
checkers.
So
I'm
roll.
coming, but
So you're rolling three.
I'm rolling three.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Nice.
Okay.
Almost crit, but not quite.
Still good.
I mean, you definitely get this thing's attention. You definitely get in front of it. Like, how awesome and effective does this get to be?
I mean, it's just very visible, right? And it's very audible because, as I said, I turn the sound on. It's not the choir. It's not the choir that we heard. I might have some other stuff that is more like anarchy in the UK or more anarchy in the Bastion, stuff like that. But it's loud and it's got a good beat, and that's what draws this thing's attention, I think. And it irritates it probably, like hurts its feelings, feelers of feelings. And I think its screeches or gives a grumbling screech and turns towards Jet and Apogee and how do these things look? What do these things look like?
So we describe them,
Abominations. Oh, nice.
blind-eyed subterranean abominations. So I
Okay.
kind of see this. I know we kind of had this asteroid element where they're like, either bombard planets and like infest them that way, or maybe erupt out of the Earth afterwards. And so I think there's this like rocky skin. And then it's blind, so I think there's these antenna, like really long razor sharp antenna that are, you know, quivering, finding the heart of the ship and
I
whoever
think
else is.
it might have something like the, what are these things called? Star-shaped fish thingies that lie around?
Starfish.
Starfish, sorry. Yeah, and they have cilia on the bottom of their arms, and but they eat things with their cilia, so maybe something like that comes at us.
Yeah,
Oh, and it's
so maybe when it
leaving
was
a kind of like a trail of digestive fluid behind it or something. Like, whoa.
no, my poor, oh wow.
Yeah, so I think maybe when it impacted the ship or whatever, it was rolled up and then like it just kind of splurges into the hangar and then like the arms start like pulling it up and the cilia are like, I don't know how long they are, but they're definitely icky if they touch you.
Yeah, and I imagine I have blasters or something like that on an engine. Like it's a mecha, right? So they
Yeah,
shoot
I
things.
mean, you get to tell me like what
Yeah. Let me look at the. I'm sorry. I'm looking at pictures right now to figure. Oh yeah. Shamash has weapons. So yeah, we open up. We light it. We light it up.
So like the lasers just erupt out of your weapons,
Yeah.
and I don't know, like we get this superheated fluid, this gunky fluid just evaporates, and like maybe the cilia curl back, and there's like scorch marks on this on the arm. I'm gonna make this incursion a clock. I think I'm gonna make it an 8, and I think for 6 I'm gonna click in 2, and like maybe this like disarms, you know, cuts one of these arms off, like so like half of it is gone and it's kind of curls back as if it's not used to the atmosphere on board this ship. Yeah, cool. I mean, you've definitely got its attention. That's what I'll say. Ian, or let's give our captain a first opportunity. What do you think?
I mean, I might be the last one in my mech and like finish sinking because of that. So it might make sense that Ian has to go, but I would do some analyzing. Ian, do you have a move?
I think that Cordelia has frozen, and is trying to pass it off as being like, you know, a good team player. She gets on the comms and she says in her best impression of Redshift's voice, "Captain, your orders."
And I think we take a trip into Iris's Horizon's very overwhelmed mind. I would like to analyze. So I guess what I'd like to do is determine the quickest method of extracting this Leviathan so that we can seal the ship as soon as possible, because this is making things desperate and we can fight them outside. So maybe I'm doing a setup action for Redshift or something like that.
I guess I wonder. That would, if Ian, you don't mind like doing what your captain tells you.
That's, you know, I'm a, it's all about that chain of command, baby, you know?
So Matt, what you've already said analyze, right? So that is looking for something secret or hidden about the current situation. A gap in
Says
your
just,
foe's defenses seems to work, right? I think you might have to push yourself to get an extra die unless you feel like a poison promise.
I would be welcome a poison promise from any of you. I guess I'm looking for what could cause this thing to shrivel up or leave, and it might be knowing something about the Leviathans or tapping in a way. Does anyone have ideas?
I have the very seed, the very start of an idea regarding like this mission that you just came back from. And you had said that you were getting, you were trying to sort of commune with ancient gods or, gather some threads of prophecy or something. I don't really know what to do with those pieces, but they seem evocative, don't they?
Absolutely, they certainly do.
Maybe something followed you, slipped in without you noticing because you're not right now, you're busy, right? I don't know what that could be, but
Yeah, that's good. I was called back in a hurry. I could also attract the attention of the forgotten gods, and we can progress something.
You think maybe you might feel the need to see exactly where it's going to figure out maybe how you can draw it away. So, like, maybe you allow it to damage some systems by making progress, but that'll give you more information.
Could you help me understand that a little more?
So, I guess I can make a clock in terms of like serious damage to the ziggurat. And each segment is like some significant damage.
Right, and if you're trying to understand the goal, then like letting it kind of run about for a little bit is a good or slither, about for a little bit.
Yeah, they
It's a
just
way to do it,
walk.
and it would necessarily like cause some damage to the ship in the process. So
I think I'm going to transcend. I think that my transcendence is very prismatic, and Iris, that was dubbed, that is sort of dubbed like the Rainbow Bridge, as in the means to travel to the world of the gods. And this very like, but I think in that it's like, she's called Horizon, and it's very much about like traveling and journeying. I think every time she goes to one of these incredible old places, she thinks twice about coming back, because she isn't a traveler and explorer. I think that's the part of the thing that she loves, and then the obligation makes it all harder on her. But I think she is very capable with a flow. She almost like moves like fragmenting light, and so yeah, I think that just a rainbow glow erupts from Luna, and I think what she does is say a prayer to one of the gods that has sent these creatures, and almost imploring and asking for like the knowledge or wisdom to fight against them. So that's a bit of a poison promise in itself, but I like that, because she takes the moment to, instead of to fight and contain this thing, to just seek knowledge, it has an opportunity to smash things up. So that sounds like two dice.
has an opportunity to smash me up. I'm in front of it.
Okay, I'm gonna hit it. A six. I needed that die.
Nice. So what do you think you figure out? Or like does it make an action that really betrays what it's seeking?
Yeah, that seems like the long game sort of stuff that I would be more interested in than the very tactical stuff. So, yeah, let's go with that.
I think what is it that you kind of notice? I think you notice like it's worming its way through these large corridors, and like it stops. There's like a temple, near the this section of the ziggurat, where people who work here go to pray and all that. And I think it stops there, and you can kind of you can sense it like orienting towards that. And there's like this, I don't know, vicious one of the arms like just pokes into it and just like almost like scrubs the wall of everything in there as if it can't let that stand. It can't just go by this and not take care of that.
I know I've just analyzed, but it'd be cool if in like a flash of shimmering light, I'm just standing on the other side of that feeler and have like severed it just as like a narrative beat, not as like an actual progress against fighting the thing, but like I know where you're going and I'm, on my way. But I think Cordelia is going to, or Redshift is going to get involved.
Yeah. Awesome. Ian, what so and just to note that when you're remember your engines. So if you are leaning into the virtues, you'll be getting a bonus die. If you're leaning into the impulse, you get XP and you don't mark your transcendence track. So
I
otherwise you
think
should be marking a transcendence track. If you're just doing a normal action and not leaning into the impulse. But I'll let you decide and describe that when it happens. Ian, redshift. I
I
presume you're
think
shifting.
Cordelia is at the controls. I think the cockpit of the Tezcatlipoca is like Cordelia is like basically like laid out flat on like on her belly, like looking forward as though she was like, like low on a motorbike or something. I think that she says again in this sort of like actually somewhat poor impersonation of Redshift's voice, she says, Captain, permission to pursue.
Granted.
Hi, Captain. And she's gonna like, ram the throttle, and Tezcatlipoca is gonna like leap after the creature. I think what she's trying to do is to get in between the, is to sort of like as Shamash is like slowing it down, or like, is the sort of first line of defense. I'm gonna try to get to where I think the creature is going, like the sort of most dense population center or the power core or whatever. And in order to do that, I think I'm going to make use of Cordelia's knowledge of the internal passageways of the ship, to try to, yeah, I'm going to like, try to use as many like shortcuts as I can as this sort of like sleek panther mech leaps into action.
Is there a way I could assist you?
You can
Possible?
assist me by being as distracting and annoying to the creature as possible.
I can also assist you by saying anything you do. I do better. You assist your rival, you grant them plus 2d and take 2 stress. If you refuse your rival's help or they refuse yours, mark XP, just to put that out there. And for this, because I'm transcendent, you're both my rivals. So.
Wow.
Jet or Apogee is relentless, so every other protagonist counts as a rival or a transcendent.
Love it. Have I done a setup action to provide a die or had it or changed position or anything, or how does that
Yeah,
work?
so your setup gives, obviously you get an insight, right, which is a good thing, but you also will increase the effect now that you're imparting that information to Redshift.
Yeah.
I think that Cordelia is like worried about breaking Apogee's focus. You know, Jet in the Shamash is like locked in combat with this pretty terrifying creature. And so I think she's going to say something to the effect of you know, something to the effect of, you clean your plate, I'll clean mine.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm refusing, I'm
Hey, I
refusing
get a
your help.
thanks for the XP.
Welcome. I think that what I'm doing here is I'm flowing. You can tell me if that's
Okay, yeah.
incorrect.
And sorry, just to remind, you've been rolling sixes, so you haven't seen any downside. Everything has been desperate because of the engagement roll, and I forgot that means you should be marking XP in your in the action track. So Sabine, you would have ticked one in sun,
I got it.
and Matt, you would have ticked one in whatever analyze belongs to, stars. Yeah. So yes, so flow sounds exactly right. You're not getting help, but are you is Tezcatlipoca spending a link to give you a boost, or are
I
you?
think so. I think yes. So I'm starting with one die for flow. I'm not, am I not taking a dive because of the setup action? That was for the effect.
Yeah, so you're going to great effect, so you're desperate great now.
Okay.
Is it like the perfect place to go in Forge in the Dark, right?
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, I think I am gonna spend a link with Scatlipoca, and I think that the ship, the you know, the huge pyramid ship has these gigantic like basically like access tunnels or access corridors that are good for, you know, moving things around or like venting excess heat or whatever. And so they're not in the public eye. And Cordelia is like wishing, you know, wishing to like get to be in public and like be a hero, but that, you know, this mech does better in the shadows, I think. And so like, you know, biting her lip a little bit, she drives the machine into the tunnels to try to get ahead. Yeah, so I'll spend one link with Tezcatlipoca. And I guess I'm just looking to see what other stuff I've got going on.
Well, you could also, I guess you could push yourself.
I am at I'm half full on stress already.
You take 2 stress, you get 1 extra die, so that'd be 3 dice.
You could show up Raffi in a major way, like step out in front of him and like everyone sees you and like sort of you know, putting him down a little bit.
Would that help me?
I was thinking of a a
Eric.
bargain because you do love him, and having him mad at you is juicy.
Oh yeah, no, that would be great.
So yeah, what do you think you like he is like l lumbering after this, going to towards this elevator shaft or access tunnel or whatever it is.
Let's say it like this. The Durga is too big to fit into this tunnel. And like I said, it's not in the public eye. I'm gonna like disappear into this access tunnel, and Rafi and the Durga is gonna feel abandoned. It's gonna feel like, oh, I don't actually have any friends at my side. I don't know what that means mechanically, like if you're gonna sort of advance a clock or something like that, but I definitely like that as a.
Yeah, I mean, we have a clock for Rafi already, which was let's find out what connection Rafi has with this with the Leviathan or the
Yeah,
Leviathans.
I think you better.
Just let's
I
tick one of
think you better
those
take
bad
that. Yeah.
boys.
Okay.
Yeah,
And
like your act of selfishness is driving him to the darkness, right? I think we'll put it that way.
Yeah, Horizon says, they're after our sacred sites. Get to the shrine. And I think everyone sees, yeah, you disappear in Durga, stuck, floundering.
So Ian, when Redshift is like getting ahead of this Leviathan, like what, I mean, is that it? Are you trying to attack it or lead it somewhere else? Is there some other effect of your action?
A great effect.
I think provided that I if Shamash is keeping it in place, maybe what I'm trying to do here is to set up a an ambush of some kind to be able to leap out at it from the from an unexpected angle.
I mean, you could just say you're ambushing it, not setting something up. You're just ambushing it.
I
You're
just
like
didn't know if that.
coming out of an elevator shaft right on it. I was a, I'd say head right on it, one of its limbs or whatever.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it would be appropriate to do that with Flo. But yeah, in that case, that's what I'll do. I'm renaming this to.
I'm showing my BattleTech heritage by saying death from above is always the best. I mean worst. I mean best move.
Yeah, okay, so this is Desperate Great, three dice,
Yeah.
ambush.
Still rolling sixes.
Nice. Yeah, so I think this is like Tezcatlipoca sort of bursting out, yeah, just like you said, from above, and falling on the creature and sort of like biting it behind its neck, like at the back, at the base of its neck, or if it has one of those, someplace that seems vital, and is sort of like shaking its head back and forth to kind of like worry the
Yeah,
creature.
yeah. So that's a six with great effect. So, and the six with normal effect did two. So it's not a crit, but let's call this three.
Nice. This is a cool clock page here, Donna. When we're done, I'll ask you to tell me how you set this up.
I copied it from someone else. Like all of the stuff I do, right?
This is the way.
This is the way. I'll see if I can find a source, but you can just copy this wholesale and just make sure you don't do anything with columns A to M, and it'll still work perfectly. That's where all the little images and the logic is. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, no neck, but maybe like the center, this like nerve center in the middle of the arms is where Tezcatlipoca lands. And like I don't know who constructs a mech to have the big biting jaws, but obviously
Oh,
whoever constructed Tezcatlipoca.
it's a big metal jaguar, right? Like
Yeah.
Might even be a transformer, or sorry, a zoid, I should say.
This is 100% a Zoid. I'm gonna go find a photo of whatever.
Well, blast from the past. And yeah, like between the biting, and I think you just give it lasers or autocannon or whatever the hell Tez Katalpaka has in its arsenal, and like this thing, starts to curl up, and it's like now it realizes maybe it's in the shaft and it's kind of trapped or like at least cornered, and it starts to like punch through the walls of this to try to get out and maybe like get into the general population areas, which we know are cramped and overcrowded. And yeah, obviously when it moves through that, it'll just be causing lots of havoc, lots of collateral damage. Yeah, I think it might be time for a plan or a concerted effort. What do you think?
I don't know how does that work mechanically?
Oh, well, I mean, in terms of a plan, that's completely up to you to describe.
Oh, okay.
In terms of actual concerted effort, that would be a group action.
Okay.
And so this is when someone is designated a leader, everyone rolls the same action, and you take the highest result. And then the leader takes stress for everyone who rolled badly, and then you obviously, like, you would get great effect, or you would get, like, I guess the three of you are kind of toe-to-toe, count as the same scale as this Leviathan, so that would be great effect, I think.
Okay, what if, I mean, you've got it pinned kind of, right? Redshift. And we know from what Horizon said that it's after holy places. So what if, you know what? There are temples everywhere. So I could grab a column from an altar from a temple. It's not super holy, but holy enough, right? To maybe distract it a little and set it up so that it'll instead of going in after the instead of trying to run away, it might or I might just jam the column into its mouth what it has there. Would that work? Is that something we can do?
That sounds great. I would like to poison promise you in that instead of a column, it's like a very important relic, like one of our most prized thingies.
Sure. Sure.
Do you think Apogee gets like approval for this? I'll just go grab some holy stuff.
No, I think he probably just say, "I'll get just grab th this thing is after the relics, right? I'll just grab this here, and then we'll see. Then we'll explode it." And he doesn't say what thing means. It could be a could be a bench or something, but it's not.
And this is totally on Horizon for not giving a specific enough plan. It's like, let's weaken it and then lead it out of the station or something like that. And then Jet just interprets that how Jet does.
Yeah, well, Jet's not super learned what's important in the religion
Yeah.
stuff.
To make this hit a little bit more, Matt, do you think this could be like Serena's shrine or some relic that's really important to her?
That sounds perfect. It might be something one of the first things I retrieved from like a lost site, like something dedicated to the sun or to light or something like that. And it's like Serena's source of power.
So there's going to be like a no as you see Apogee like come
It's
down with this, right?
gonna be fine. It
It'll be fine.
If it's a really important religious relic, it'll survive this, right?
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to.
I mean, if it breaks, wasn't that much of a deal, right? Anyway, so is this how we do it?
Yeah, so do we think this is a group attack with this holy relic? Are you like attacking it and dragging it out to follow you, or is this just a
Yeah, I think that's the plan, right? Dragging it
um.
out not through the most populated spaces.
Unless this is a setup for a court for Redshift and I to do like a group flow to like shepherd it out of the station or something like that. But I guess it depends what action we're using here and if I would be involved once I know what's going down.
I mean, there are two options here. I mean, I could do this as another defy and set up the flow, think that we can shepherd it out, or we can just do it as a whatever we would use for a hit on that thing. It's still got three segments, so I think we might go better with two actions to try to damage it. Right, we can't rely on rolling sixes all the time.
Well, it is desperate, so I sure hope we roll sixes.
I so do I, but so what would we want to do? Set up or do we just hit it?
It feels like Jet's doing his own action,
Yeah, it's
for
true.
this first thing.
Yeah, I would accept an assist from you though. Because, I mean, it
Okay.
was your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was, and I'm happy to assist.
Okay.
I don't have any links. Is that just still one stress in this game?
So yeah, your links are like free assists.
Got it.
So it's just one die and one stress for a normal help.
Done deal.
I think, oh no, wait a minute. Is that true? Let me, yes, one stress for one die.
Beautiful.
Oh yeah, okay. I could push myself, but and I could also push myself, right?
You can't push and get help.
Okay. So, but I can't. You said the poison promise that I take an important relic would give me another die, right?
Oh, sorry, no. It's you can push and accept help. You just can't accept the poison promise and push yourself.
But
So yes, you can push yourself and get help.
we've also already put the poison promise out there, and I think it's too juicy not to take it, right? So I think I'll do that. I would like to have pushed myself, but no. Okay.
Okay, so that
So
is three dice.
three dice.
Desperate.
Let's see how this goes. It's a five.
Ooh.
Okay, I mean, not a six.
Well, as I
Yeah.
said, we can always rely on rolling sixes.
Yeah.
The mole rats come to roost.
So you do it, but there is a consequence.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I think let's say that why don't you describe your attack and like when you make that hit, I think the Leviathan is gonna kind of grab you and like almost pull you in towards its beaky mouth.
Oh, that's cool. I'm letting it because I have the relic and it wants it and it's fine and it pulls me it towards and into almost into its beaky mouth and I jam the relic into the beaky mouth so it kind of stands open and then I let loose. I mean, I just fire into that beaky mouth. I try to aim down so I won't hit Redshift because they're my rival. They're not my enemy.
Since this is.
I know this, and also they're fighting on my side, and anything they can do, I can do better anyways.
Since this is desperate, does it also just like destroy the relic or break it in some way?
Yeah, it's consuming this relic, right?
That
So when you,
that's the poison bargain
yeah,
promise.
when you jam this, like, what is the relic exactly? Is it like a
Or his spear? I thought it was like a spear or something rather big. It's not something small, right?
okay, like a god-sized spear that is almost perfect in the engine's hands, right? And you jam it into this mouth, and then like this acidic stuff comes out of its beaky mouth and like dissolves the kind of gold steel alloy, and you're just left with this wreckage of a handle.
Was this important?
I have saw it coming, which would let me spend my special armor to resist a consequence relating to surprise or misfortune, but I don't want to because this is juicy. And maybe it was also a poison promise, but
Really juicy in this case.
Do I take any harm from being pulled into the beacon of this thing?
Yeah, so I think both the engine and you take some harm. So I think it's maybe it's like acid burns or something like this from the beak. So yeah, put that in at level one harm.
Where do I put it in for the machine,
So
the
on the
engine?
engines, you will I'm gonna say it's what to untick one of the strength.
On the strength, or one tick on the, like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then I mark one tick on my harm here. I just write it in, right? Acid burns.
So
Okay.
acid burns.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Nice.
Okay, so
Oh.
we're just at the hour, so let's hold off to see Redshift kick this thing into space where it belongs. Let me stop the recording. Okay, well, in the immortal words of Mortal Kombat, finish it. Redshift, what do we see you doing?
Well, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to sort of reconcile like some kind of finishing move with Tezcatlipocha's virtue of cleverness. And Tezcatlipoca is a, I think, is like a trickster god.
I mean, there's certainly some trickery in there, for sure.
Or maybe not trickery, but like tactics or sort of like, ploys or something. I might be grossly mischaracterizing that.
I mean, clever. Clever. I mean, there's some trickery built into that word, right?
Yeah. I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna try to we've sort of wrestled this creature away from the sort of main temple complex. And if it's all right with you, I'd like to say that we have gotten it to some type of precipice, a big airlock or something that somebody could fall off of or be, cast out into space or something. And you said that this creature was kind of like thrashing about, punching the, surroundings and it's kind of, coiling and whipping its limbs around. I don't have anything in Defy, so I feel like a sort of straight up attack maybe wouldn't be the way to go. Instead, I think I'm going to have Tezcatlipoca sort of like fall from the creature's back, and make a show of like crying or like trying to stand up on a on an injured leg. And my goal here is that, if the creature tries to sort of lunge for me or like pull it, to finish off a wounded prey or something, I'm gonna pull a switcheroo and kick it into the void or something in that regard.
So it sounds like a conceal action to me, like a bit of hiding your true strength and like hiding your true intentions from this thing. Does that work?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that tracks.
So you think this could be like a setup for the others, like, or for the re for everyone to do like a group kick this thing into space?
Yeah, I think most of what I'm trying to do is to sort of bring it into a vulnerable position where it could be cast out for good. A vulnerable position like right at the edge of the airlock, which I realize that I'm also right at the edge of the airlock.
I mean, just don't roll a one, right? In those.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're using your engine's virtue, you get a bonus die tied to your one for conceal.
Do you want an assist?
I would love an assist on this one, please.
Okay. Yes, very well. You get two
Okay.
dice. I take two stress.
Two stress for two dice. That is a
It hurts
great
so
bargain.
good.
Yeah.
It's
So
lovely.
what does this look like when we see Apogee helping Redshift? Like, how do we get a sense that this is like, oh, I'm so good, I can help you in ways no one else can,
I think this is once we're to the airlock, which is closed, right? I might just, and maybe the thinking was that somebody will open it, and maybe that's what Apogee does, but in typical Apogee fashion, by just blasting through the wall, basically. That tracks with you?
Sure. I mean, maybe we have some like emergency bulkheads, but I really like the
Bulkheads,
yeah.
I mean, there's nobody here, right? If I wouldn't do that if anybody was here, if somebody was here and could be endangered by me smashing through the airlock, I imagine that airlocks have some sort of protection. Then I would first punch the security button before opening the airlock the old-fashioned way. But I like a little flash here. On the other hand, I also could do to assist you, because you're trying to get it somewhere where it's going, I could just harry it. I'm close to its mouth. I still got the rest of the relic stuck in, and maybe I could just, hurt it so it doesn't pay really attend a lot of attention. But
Yeah,
that would.
I think probably, I mean, you might still be grabbed by this thing, right?
Yeah,
So,
I'm still grabbed by this thing, so I'm just kind of helping you by staying where I am, and
I mean, I think you could probably do multiple things, right? So maybe like you can help shove it in the right direction to get it moving, and then also shoot that control on the airlock to open it as you go by it or whatever. There's plenty of exciting things. I think the thing we want to be careful of is that it's not still grabbing you when it gets sucked into space.
Yeah, that would be nice. Although, I mean, my engine can survive in deep
Oh
space,
yeah,
right?
for sure. It's just like then you'll be out there and going away from home.
So please don't roll too badly.
So this is the setup to get it next to the airlock, and then the group action next time will be to kick it out, right?
Okay.
Okay, so I think you've got four dice, Ian, which is,
Nice.
good as these things go.
Don't say anything. Here I
Who,
go.
me?
I rolled a six.
Of course.
Ooh, just made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is like Tezcatlipoca has like a very long tail, very sort of long prehensile tail that is tipped with some kind of blade or like sharp appendage. And I think this is like as the thing gets closer, the jaguar is like digging its claws into the deck, wrapping its tail around one of the creature's appendages and like rolling out of the hang out of the hangar or like into onto the exterior of the ship, like hanging on by its claws to try to pull the creature as close to the ledge as possible.
Okay.
And so now, now here's the jaguar, which is like hanging on by its fingernails, like to
Yeah,
the,
yeah. I think maybe because you got a six, I think it's kind of bounding. It's in this open space now, maybe like a civilian hangar or something like that. And it's like, yeah, one of those legs is gone, but maybe now it's like a four-legged starfish and it's like going for you. And it kind of leaves go of Apogee to build up speed, and then like the airlock opens right in front of it, and we're at our
Right.
moment of
Now I
truth.
imagine it's like using all of its limbs to like hold on to the interior to try to like keep itself from being torn out into the
Yeah.
void.
So, group action. What do we think this is, and who is leading it?
It feels like a defy.
Defy.
I don't have any defy, but that's what it feels like. We're
Yeah.
defying its allowance inside of our home.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I guess everyone is gonna roll. Sorry, Matt, did that sound like Horizon is leading?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You're the one with the most stress to give anyway, so that's fine.
And I'm the least embattled right now.
Yeah. So I guess everyone rolls defy. You can push yourself if you want to. You can spend a link from your engine if you want to.
Seems like a good time to push.
I'm pushing. I don't have any links, and this is certainly not serene, so I'll be rolling with one die.
Yeah. Okay.
I can push myself and use a link.
Yes.
Cool. Then I
This is.
still have one stress left. That's fine, right? That's
Yeah, that's fine.
fine. I've got three dice.
I think I'm also gonna do that combo. I'm going to push and link,
Awesome.
which means I'll be rolling with two dice.
Is Redshift hanging on outside of the station? Is that what you said? You baited it outside? Okay. I have a
Redshift,
trend.
the
Go on.
jaguar has like two claws on the inside, like on the ledge of the airlock, two claws like gripping on the outside of the ship, and the tail is like wrapped around the creature and is like pulling it outward.
Yeah. Oh, I want to use my transcendent ability, but I'm not sure if it feels right in this moment. So maybe we'll just roll it up.
Okay. Okay, so let's everyone roll.
Oh, it sounds so good and dramatic.
You're
So
going
what
to
I can
remove
do is
someone
when
from the
I
flow of
push,
time?
yeah, I want to remove an ally from the flow of time because you're in danger, and I know best because I can see all futures, and we can't lose you, Redshift. You're too important. But I imagine this would hurt very much because you're trying to make a name for yourself and be a proper pilot.
Like I said before, chain of command.
So
Captain says so.
what does remove them from the flow of time mean? That they're like in stasis, unable to be affected or affect.
I think that there's a brief like prismatic shimmer around Tezcatlipoca and Redshift, and the two of them are sent briefly to the Ice Age. You're just like for a few seconds, you're just in like a howling 120 kilometer winds, frozen world, and you're safe, or so Horizon thinks. And this is Horizon. I think this is like a toxic trait of thinking they, because they know so much, and they're the captain, they can exert control in this way and take away your autonomy. And they've sworn not to do that with Jet, but they're certainly doing it now with Redshift.
How do we think this affects Redshift's like impact on this group action? Is it like momentary, like just at the moment of most danger, or is it like sit this one out, Redshift?
Could I take a poison promise that Redshift is not involved? That's kind of a die for die, but it has dramatic implications.
Yeah, but I'd like to have Ian roll something really because it's group action. So maybe he gets pushed away at the point where he has already given this thing some momentum.
Oof. Yeah. I want to know if Iris knows Redshift's true identity. The general public does not, but you're the captain.
I want to say no, unless you really want me to say yes.
I think it's delicious, if not.
Do you
Think so
think it could
too.
be no until you take her out of the flow of time and then you do see her true identity?
I think it could be. I think it could still be a juicy reveal in another episode or two.
You don't have
I
that many
like
of them. This is good.
I said one or two because
Yeah.
there's one or two left. Do you think that is how you'd want things to proceed, Ian?
I think that's interesting.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Yeah, maybe I haven't done this before. And maybe there's something about taking someone out of the flow of time that in some way connects you to them. So I guess first we should figure out if, because Redshift has done the setup, and I think it's most fictionally interesting if Iris like removes your ability to be effective here, because I feel like that's a big breach of like your agency, and like I think that's cool, but only with your permission as Ian.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to say that Cordelia is going to do something rash, and she would say heroic, but it's going to be something like letting go of letting go of her grip on the ship in order to like splash at the creature's legs or something to try to get it to let go, which is going to put her at like real danger of drifting off into the void.
Awesome.
Because she didn't launch from the launch tube, she doesn't have the like, the afterburners or anything like on to Scatlipoca. Like she's at real risk of just like falling into deep space right now.
Yeah.
So
Awesome.
if it's okay, I'll roll as part of the group action. And then, depending on the results of that, we'll see how it goes.
Yes, I think that's a great way to proceed.
Okay. Everyone roll, if you can remember how many dice you accrued.
Yeah.
I should be rolling with two dice because I'm starting with none for Defy.
Oh, wow. I rolled really bad.
Okay.
Please roll better.
Ooh, I rolled a six. Ooh. I
Okay.
almost wish I didn't, but I'll take it.
So, Matt, you take one stress for Apogee's terrible roll.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
It's only one stress. It doesn't. I've seen worse. So yeah, you kick this thing out. Why don't you describe how that works, and then maybe we can cut to see how Redshift kind of deals with that intervention and close brush.
So Ian, you had said that Tezcatlipoca like releases its hold just to get a few good swipes in to loosen the grip on the door.
Yeah.
This could be.
Jet is firing lasers, rockets, things into it. It's like not letting go, right? And so I'm like continuing to like, try to loosen its hold however I can.
Yeah. This could be a cool sync move where Jet has been firing rockets and then it's like sustaining a laser cannon and Horizon steps up next to Jet and like the like lays the mech's hands on your shoulders and like the laser is infused with like rainbow prismatic light and like is like just blasts open into a myriad of colors. And melts away a bunch of the limbs. What do you think, Sabine?
I like it. Cool.
We put our mech's power sources together for a moment.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. I think with enemies who are blind, having bright as a mech's specialty is a little sometimes a little hard to describe how that
I was thinking
helps.
the same when I went with a rainbow prismatic theme. I was like, gonna have to get creative here. And maybe as Redshift is falling, there's a brief shimmer, and instead of going to the Ice Age, I think that it might be nice if in this moment of like connection, like our spirits touch for a second in order for me to be able to like send you to another place. And I think that in the moment that like we brush and I feel this familiar presence that I grew up alongside. I think my conscious thinking mind doesn't really register it, but my subconscious sends you somewhere that you would really want to go and really want to see, even if it's only for a few seconds. And I wonder where that is or when that is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. Listen, this is a game that's inspired by anime. We're gonna do some anime stuff right now, which is that I think, I'm making some decisions about our timeline here. But I think that Iris and Cordelia, at one point, maybe this is like a place that I've already been that I want to return to, or like, something that I wish could have been. I think that this is like the upper atmosphere of a planet that is like a blue green garden world, and Tezcatlipoca is like breaking up on reentry. Like the bits of it are just kind of like falling apart, leaving only Redshift, who is fought like falling from orbit. And she is like looking up because she's falling head first. So she's looking up at the planet and she can see Cordelia and Iris as children, like in, you know, catching fireflies or something, you know, doing kid stuff, having a childhood.
Well, looking up at a shooting star, right? Making a
Yeah,
wish.
look exactly looking up at
Nice.
the shooting star.
Oh, that's cute. I like it.
And you know, and then like faster and faster and faster towards the surface of the planet, and then black, right? Like back to reality.
Yeah, the black is probably like this like creature getting one last like lash at Tezcatlipoca or something, or like just knocking you back into this timeline as it like spirals off into the cosmos, I guess, in pieces.
Oh my God, does that mean that if it hadn't gotten that, then where you sent me would have been permanent?
I don't
Pack
know.
the gods slash leviathans, right?
You know, I saw it coming. I knew it was going to happen like that. So,
Exactly as you've foreseen us, right?
somebody foresaw it.
Right. And then this is, you know, this is the jaguar like extending its tail and like reeling itself back into the airlock.
I think
Oh.
I'll grab you. I saw that something was off with the rainbow stuff, but I wasn't too sure what happened. I'll help you get back to the ship, though. Right? I mean, this wasn't saving you clearly, but still.
Thanks.
Don't want you to get lost out there.
I think if we're at the, I mean, you can tell me what stage of the game we're at here, Donna.
Well, the next stage of the game is fallout from the mission, but we can definitely have like a personal scene before we get to that, you know.
I think you know, emergency blast doors are like sliding shut to like seal the airlock or whatever. And Cordelia is getting out of the cockpit, you know, helmet under her arm, red veil kind of like loosely or you know, sort of hanging in a disheveled way about her shoulders, so it's like not covering her face anymore. And she's looking up at the at Luna with almost a like a sulk, her sort of lip, you know, extended, like looking up at you defiantly. And she says, I didn't ask for your help. I had that covered.
And I think Luna's torso opens up, and in contrast, Iris descends. There's like a platform that brings her down, like silhouetted by like shimmering white light, like serene and perfectly put together. And she says, sometimes it's not about asking.
Every time you go into one of those portals, you're taking your life in your hands. So you're the only person who gets to do something crazy or dangerous or put their lives on the line.
Every life is on the line, Cordelia. You know that. That's why I go into those portals.
you're not sending every life to wherever that was.
Maybe your life is a key. Maybe I need you here.
I don't accept that. I'm no one. I just stepped up and was in the right place at the right time. Anyone could have been me.
It is not to you to disavow prophecy.
At this, she turns on her heel and she storms out.
As she should.
I think this is when Apogee steps up to you and says, "Iris, was this important?" And shows you the remnants of the spear.
Yes, Jed.
Oh, well, it served its purpose.
Priceless treasure.
It's not as priceless as getting that thing out of here.
I suppose you have a point.
I mean, that's what these things are there for, supposedly, right? To help people, not to be pretty things standing around in a cupboard.
The Archons might have something else to say about that, but
Yeah, the Archon's probably gonna yell. It's fine.
and
He'll take it.
when Iris says the Archons, she's thinking of only Serena, and
Yeah.
but she won't say that. Come on, Jet. Let's get back.
Yeah,
You did good.
I gotta take care of my engine. Acid wasn't too good to her.
And I think they walk down the hallway, and I think Iris is talking about like how well they're getting along and trying a little bit to. She never wants to push too hard, but she wants Jet to feel good about being a pilot and doing the right thing because it will help a lot and make things a lot easier if Jet wants to stay.
Yeah, and you know what? He feels that she's just say she's just being phony. He doesn't think that she actually respects him.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust that because she's an upper class lady and friends with the Archon on first name basis probably. So he's probably just grumbling and saying stuff like yeah. Yes, sure.
She's speaking in words that are not her own.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
I think, yeah, I think she was in some way to Cordelia as well. She was speaking with like the gravitas of prophecy.
That reminds me that I think in the middle of your that was went well, and he was like, "Yeah, but where were you actually the whole time we were fighting? I mean, you're supposed to be the captain that you just tell us where to go and what to hit."
Yeah, it says that. That's amazing.
And he's trying to get any kind of reaction that is
Yeah.
not the prescribed thing for you to say.
There's a lot at play, Jet, in these fights, and it's not all what you can see or what you can shoot with your guns. Your many, many guns.
Yeah, could have used some more actually, but I guess if there is some hidden thing that needs to be fought for, we'll let you do that.
We made it in the end, didn't we?
This time.
Next time, too. She says, like, having a feeling of what's going to happen next time.
And he looks at her and says, "You know that there will be a last time for either of us, probably me before you."
I hope not. And I think that is like, the one of the first real things.
And he doesn't trust that.
Yeah.
Of course not. Says, yeah. Well, gives you a slight bump on the shoulder. If you had been in there, might turn out different in the future, but you fight your fight, I fight mine.
Well, maybe I'll trust your proclamation. Seems you've got your own.
Okay.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of time for recriminations, mechanical and otherwise, in the
Yes.
obligation and downtime phase, right?
Yes.
Let's jump through Fallout. So, the adversary is at tier two because I rolled a crit at the start of the session when
Oh.
we saw how complacent the Bastion was. So that was five segments. So, no one's in Eclipse. So this counts for everyone. You erase all your stress, all unspent links, and reset your transcendence and armor. I'm going to roll Fallout.
So that means that we reset all unspent links, means that all links are gone, or that we return them to what they were before.
Erase all unspent links.
Okay, so they are gone. Cool. Well, no, but okay.
Okay. So I'm going to roll and see how it goes. Ah, there you go. There's the threes and the ones. So that is a strife breaks out in the Bastion. I think this is the strife of the sacrilege, the destruction of the temples, of the relics. Some people think that the pilots and the engines haven't protected the Ziggurat, right? And there's a lot of angry people out there. How does this make people feel? Do we think maybe just a setup for next week? Do we think we have an inkling of how this is going to make life difficult for Iris?
I mean, being the captain doesn't usually actually mean that you get your orders followed, or it mostly means that you're the one held responsible for everything that goes wrong. So I think it will make life difficult, my love life and otherwise.
And how about for Jet? Do we think people, notice that he's the one who held a spear,
Yeah,
or
that he's one who took and destroyed the spear. Yeah, sure. People, the religious minded people, they will be angry at him and demand consequences and probably get them because, he's in no position to say, hey, fuck these things.
And how about Cordelia? Do we think we see any repercussions for her?
Yeah, for Cordelia, I think it's right back to the underbelly of the ship, which probably took some damage. And if this discontent is as widespread as you say, Oh, omniscient GM. I don't think that there's like actually a strike or like a work stoppage or anything, but I do think that a lot of people are just like not at their posts because they're going off to demonstrate their anger. And so I think, Cordelia has even more work to have to, to have to deal with. And I think that also she, sure she's in her early 20s, but in some ways she's like a little bit emotionally underdeveloped. I think that, when somebody asks her what she thinks about all of this, I think she's going to say, stupid. It's a stupid system. It was a stupid system in the first place. And in the past, she's been one of like the big engine boosters.
Okay, awesome. So let's quickly do XP and then we can do our debrief. So let's start with the series XP. For each item below mark 1 XP or 2 XP if that item occurred multiple times, successfully carried out a mission from the series list. You defended the last bastion, right? Struggled with your place in the world and protect the last bastion.
Help me understand how to do XP in Blades in the Dark. I'm usually a little lost with that.
So we're doing XP for the whole for the series, so this is like
Okay.
the group first.
Okay. Oh, so there's the XP track. I found it. Sorry.
So there's like four prompts here, and basically we do one XP if it happened, and like two XP if it happened more than once or really significant or whatever. So do we think he struggled with your place in the world as a group?
I would say big yes.
Yeah, especially in the end.
Yeah. Do we think really big yes, like two? I mean, I'm
Well,
not gonna be like,
we did certainly defend the Bastion.
and we're in a five-part series.
Yes, there's that. So let's mark it twice. Reveal the tragic history of the Bastion Leviathans and engines.
We had a little with Iris's introduction. That gave us a good look at the at what the Bastion's history for her part might have been, because we've seen others so far, but not her, not this, not the upper class movers and shakers stuff.
The engines were pretty cool this session. They weren't that tragic yet. And I think the Leviathans, at one point, I wanted to like, I sort of said a prayer to the gods who had sent these here to like learn more about them. So there's a little bit of a reaching out there, but I think we sort of went with a different poison promise. And I don't know if that was like, we didn't reveal a lot of juicy bits there. But I think maybe one.
And express the essential nature, origin, or destiny of the group, I think for sure. That'd be like mark this twice because
I mean,
lot of origins.
not sure what our essential nature is, except for being
Drama
slightly messed.
queens, I don't
Drama
know.
queens, right? Okay, yes, we absolutely is. Yeah. Oh my God.
The other thing I need to do is kind of mark the XP for the Leviathans. The adversary track advances by one segment, plus one additional segment for the following. The adversary's agenda moved forward. I mean, taking back what you stole from the gods. I'm not sure. I mean, it nearly got somewhere important, but he stopped it, so I don't think so.
I feel like that relic, I remember talking in our setup about how these relics are a way for us to connect with the powers of the past. And
Yeah.
the spear could represent, throwing a spear is like intent and clarity and goals and drive. And I feel like a lot of people would have been like worshiping that and following Serena. And now with the loss of this thing, we might have lost a bit of our connection to the gods.
Okay, yeah. So
And with it,
the love
there's
were
a sort of
important there.
attendant, there's a sort of attendant loss of like purpose or cohesion within the congregation or something.
Yeah,
Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean to speak over you, Donna.
No, it's fine. I'll tick the box. Yeah, I'm a lot more important than we initially maybe thought it was, right? And
Good
also the
poison.
protagonists, that's you all, that came closer to their destiny. Fate doomed martyrs, I guess is
Yeah,
what we
I
kind
think
of,
we did.
yeah,
I think
especially
so.
with the tension within the group.
Yeah, I felt like everyone was ready to play recklessly to get this thing out.
Yeah.
Except me.
Yeah. Okay, and then we do your XP as characters. I've checked, and it looks, I think I've got all of your, because every action in that session was desperate. So I think you're up to speed on those desperate XP.
Oh, thanks for that.
So let's do your individual XP. For Cordelia, again, it's one XP wherever you want for each item, or two if it occurred multiple times. You address the challenge with mystery or ostentatious action.
Frankly, I would say that I met all of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely addressed a challenge with ostentatious action by popping out of an air vent and pouncing. I would say that I did struggle. I did express my beliefs, drives, role or background of like certainly of being a naive idealist. I do think that I struggled with issues from my promises or obligation in the sense that I came directly into conflict with Iris. And I think that there was especially a good I don't, there's like a lot of juice there, I think.
Yeah.
And I think I displayed the contents of my heart.
Yeah.
So some number between 5 and 8, right?
Uh-huh.
That is completely up to you. And you can put those anywhere. So you can like put four of them into stars and like get an extra dot, or you could like store up like, I don't know, does 8 get you fully on the playbook? Yeah, and that would give you
It
like,
would get me fully
yeah.
to the playbook. Yeah, let me think about that for a little bit.
Yeah, okay, cool. Sabine for Jet.
Yeah, I think I addressed the challenge with action or aggression multiple times for sure. I expressed my beliefs, drives, role, and background. I mean, I'm an insubordinate rebel, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I struggled with issues from your promises or obligation. I mean, I tried to save Thingy, Redshift. I didn't precisely, or maybe I did. Who knows? It's hard to say. And I embodied my eclipse. I did not, but I displayed my the contents of my heart. I think at least in the last scene was Iris. So thanks for that, Matt.
Yeah, so maybe 7, I don't know. Where again, wherever you want
Yeah.
works for me. And Matt, how about Iris? Foresight or revelation is your key phrase here.
Yeah. I learned about the intentions of the Leviathan and sort of gave some directions around that. And then my foresight, I suppose, was that Redshift would be lost if I did not intervene. And I did address a challenge, even though we don't know if it needed to be addressed or not. expressed your beliefs, drives, roles, or background. I was definitely a captain with a lot of troubles. We saw at the beginning, like me getting hustled in, weary from another mission. And we got some, learned some at the end of the session with the conversations I had with the other characters. I don't know if I displayed the contents of my heart.
Briefly,
Besides,
very obliquely, but yeah, you did.
I guess the one way that I really did was the sending Cordelia to see that garden planet and see us as kids. I think that was a the most subtle way you can, but I guess I did. What is my eclipse?
So you didn't eclipse, so you don't embody it unless you eclipse. So like if you push yourself with stress and you eclipse, that's a way to get more XP, right?
Right. Oh, that sounds so good. I'm on my way to that. Issues from your promises or obligation. I mean, I already kind of flagged the obligation, so I won't double dip, but my promise to Cordelia that I will love you always is certainly challenged. And then I don't think I really struggle with my promise to Jet yet, but we'll get there.
Well, yeah, assign that XP wherever you want, and that is everything. We start next week with obligation. Your obligation's grinding you down. So yeah, let me stop the recording, and we have a quick moment for some stars and witches.